Well, you've seen some things here that I didn't see. I'd love to hear from you.
I had a couple thoughts. Last week, remember Daniel read the scripture about only these certain people would make it in, basically like Daniel and whoever it was and stuff. And I made the statement, yeah, there's no coming in on coattails. And then you, Mark, said, yeah, but there's something to be said. And I just feel like that was proved in the message today, because when it said, and God remembered Abraham. So it wasn't even necessarily Lot's righteousness that got him saved. It was almost more of Abraham's. He said, God remembered Abraham and saved Lot. So I just feel like it's insane to us how important it is to the rest of our family for us to be where we should be. I mean, just like David did some things wrong, but God still called him the apple of his eye. And so we need to stay in that position with the hope that God will have mercy on our family if they're not just exactly where they should be, you know. And then also, I had one little thought about Lot's wife becoming a pillar of salt. Now, the thought that came to my mind was, you know, the scripture says that we're the salt of the earth. And we know that what salt does is it preserves meat, or it actually preserves anything, I guess. And so we're what's stopping this destruction right now, because we're the salt of the earth. But then it says, if salt has lost its savor, it's good for nothing and needs to be just cast into a dunghill. And what that says to me is, once you're a Christian and you are salt, if you turn from that, you're no longer good in the spiritual world, and you're no longer good in the secular world either, because now you know you're doing wrong and you feel bad about leaving what you knew what was right. And so you're just not good for the Christian world or the heathen world. And so I feel like what happened to Lot's wife was, since she looked back and longed for that and kind of turned from it, that she became a pillar of salt. And like a pillar of salt, there's no more movement for her spiritually. You know, a pillar doesn't move around anymore, you know. And so I think it's just really describing to us what can happen to us when we turn back from God.
I think I might have also said there's something to be said about the family, the immediate family, the nuclear family, having some grace as long as they're in that family, having some mercy. I mean, it does not appear that Lot's wife and daughters were even at the place that he was, that he had failed even to bring some kind of a spiritual level to them. And I'm thinking of old Noah. We know there were things in Ham that did not come up to the same level as Noah, which was manifest later, but because they were with in that same nuclear family, God extended his mercy to them while they were part of that family.
I also see something very critical in what we have just read and heard. In the case of Lot and the family, the angels were very plain, said, do not look back. Do not look back. That tells me about what we hear now and our lifestyles afterwards. Obedience talks about obedience. So it is critical to me because it is easy to point out these things about Lot's wife. But what if it is me? If today I'm asked to leave my house that it was going to be burnt, will I not have the temptation of looking back? The spiritual implications of the Spirit of God telling me not to look back, will I be able to keep it? So it is something very important. Even as we started this meeting, you know, God talking about examples. These are examples to us. So I believe that it is critical to our salvation to obey God's commands. Praise God. I think there is one other thing that I wanted to say. I've forgotten it. If I remember it, I will say it. Amen.
Well, there's the looking back. You might have started to say this, Brother Opie. Looking back into our former lifestyle when we had lived a sin. And there is pleasure of sin for a season, okay? There's pleasure in certain sin. And if we look back and begin to think about these pleasures that we gave up and long for these good old days, whatever, it's looking back. Is that what you meant, Brother Opie?
Exactly. Looking back, that's why I talked about obedience. Obedience to God's command. You know, it was very plain. The word was clear. Do not look back. I am going to destroy this place. But she looked back. So there was a question of obedience there. So I think as believers, it is critical to us as an example, whatever the commandments are, of God are, his word is a commandment to us, of course, we all know that, to keep to it and live by the word of God. Praise God.
The scripture.
I think in your example is exactly what Abraham is mentioned, that he looked at Sodom and Gomorrah at that time. He wasn't told not to, and he wasn't looking back at it from living there. And he just saw what was going on at the time. So being an example, it wasn't looking at the city itself. It was the desire that she had.
Only with thine eyes shall thou see the destruction of the wicked. And that was Abraham. Only with his eyes did he see, but it did not come nigh him.
There's a scripture that I was thinking about when we were talking here. It's found in Luke 9, verse 62. And Jesus said unto him, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God.
The other one would be when they told, don't go back into your house. You know, when the time comes, don't go back in there to get anything or think about anything or anything else like that.
Well, Mike, that was the verse that I left out in Luke because I skipped over that verse. Thank you for correcting me here on this. It says, even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. In that day, He which shall be upon the housetop and his stuff in the house, let him not come down to take it away. And he that is in the field, let him likewise not return or turn back. And then the verse, remember Lot's wife. I missed that context. Yes, there's an example of turning back, going back.
Hello, Brother Mark, brethren. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Just a little thought while looking at it here. At the time that Lot separated from Abraham, there seemed not to be a record that he was married. He was married. So it looks as though Lot found a wife among the Sodomites, women of Sodom. So that could have been a very strong point of weakness for him.
Well, Brother Edie, I don't think he had time. I don't think there was enough time in order for him to have two married daughters and two daughters that were at least young women. I don't think there was enough time for him to have produced those four children from the time Abraham was 75. Until that would have been only another 25, 24 years until the Lord's visit to Abram to tell him that he's going to have a son. So he must have had to have brought a wife with him from Ur of the Chaldees or somewhere up there.
24 years is too long for that. Because it does that he's not married.
What do you see, Brother Daniel?
I was looking at the message that this two angel was giving Lord when he was telling him to go out. And it's in Genesis chapter 19 and verse 13. And he says, they says to him, for we will destroy this place because the cry of them is waxed great before the face of the Lord. And the Lord had sent us to destroy it. So there is a cry in the heart of people that was with the Lord about everything that they were looking at and everything what was going on in the city. It is really the same things that is in our heart today. We are seeing everything that is happening in the world and we are crying to God about it. And that is the time that we can look at this story in the same time as we are living in. Because I see the same things really happened with this two angel, because we know that angel means messenger. And this two angel is so much almost the same history as the two witness in the 11th chapter in the Revelation. Because if you look at the battle that was going on, we can see what kind of nature it was that rose up in Sodoma against this two witnesses that God sent there. There was a nature in people that rose up against them and wanted to misuse them and be cruel to them. But just look at in Revelation chapter 11 what he explained about what kind of nature it is that is facing these two witnesses. It's verse 7. And when they shall finish their testimony, the beast that ascended out of bottomless pit shall make war against them, and shall overcome them and kill them. So this is the nature that that is going to come forth, that is going to come against these two witnesses. But this nature that was in the time of Sodom was the nature from the bottomless pit.
Amen.
So it is the same. We are seeing this story. Why was God keeping this story in the Bible for us? Because when we look at through the Revelation chapter 11, we are seeing these things happened again, because the two witnesses in the book of Revelation, they are a messenger. And messenger is an angel. It's not a created angel, but it is a man that become an angel, become a messenger. So that is what I see. And I agree with when we were talking about not looking back. You can even see it in when Israel was the people was going through the wilderness, and they had been going into spying into the promised land and came back. 10 of them was giving a bad testimony about it, and they rose up a group of people that wanted to go back to Egypt. They were looking back. They were rising up in rebellion. And that is a warning for us. I can see it in my own life when I look back. I was a believer, and I am a believer. But in a certain point, that I could not found any place or any people to be with or anyone to speak to. And what rose up in my life that I went back. I was not looking back. I was drawing back. And I started to be with my old fellows again. And I was crying in my heart like Job. I didn't want to be in this place. And I come to that point that I said, God, I cannot make a move. And I will not make a move. You have to make a move. And he did. And he did it in so powerful way that I have never known him in that way before. I was 3 days that the doctors didn't know if I was going to survive or not. But out of it came that my total life changed. I cannot wake up in the morning instead without starting the day with say, "Good day, my God. May this day be your day." And when I go to bed in the evening, I said, "Thank you, Lord, for this good day, for the goodness of you. Thank you for this time today. And please protect us and cover us through the night so we can have one more good day with you." Amen.
Amen. Well, at least two of those daughters had married Sodomites. So there were just a few people left in Sodom that were straight.
If I can say something, I don't know if it's good analogy, but it reminds me 1 Corinthians 3, where it's written about about the fire, like maybe from 13 or maybe from 12. Before 13, and the foundation is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. And know ye not that you are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. And so on. I just think about it, how much he lost Lot in the fire. He lost probably two daughters, sons-in-law, maybe some grandchildren, I don't know. And he lost everything. He just had his empty hands, do you know? And his two daughters, and they're all also a little bit corrupt. And his wife, she died. So, but I believe he was saved, but he was saved by fire. Because, yeah, what he was building was the hay. Everything was lost. Just thinking.
Yeah, whatever plans he had to prosper by moving out of the fields and into the city, whatever he had gained was all gone. The only thing left was himself. Good word, Sonia. Well, praise the Lord. I have enjoyed our meeting today. My spirit has enjoyed the meeting today, not just my soul. But my soul has prospered with the fellowship with you, brethren. God bless you.
Me too. And
we can say goodbye, and I'll turn the recording off. You can still talk after I turn that off.